Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast, friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five, raising five children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado with my wife, Brenda. And ladies and gentlemen, we are trying to do this in the midst of the dissolution of the family in the 21st century. Things are falling apart right and left. 39% of kids born without fathers, up from 5% in just 40 years ago. And divorce rates through the ceiling, shack-up rates through the ceiling. The family is falling apart. So is faith and freedom. But in the midst of this, we're trying to retain a biblical vision, a godly vision. We believe God is really smart, and maybe we ought to stumble back into the Word of God, crack the Word, and figure out what God has to say about gender roles, about family, about faith, freedom, these sorts of things. And that's why I bring these issues up on this radio broadcast. Now, as we try to get out of the gender blender and try to reestablish the family as God intended it to be, We find an example in Proverbs 31, an example of a godly woman. And my daughters have memorized this passage because we want to live what God has presented as the vision for godly womanhood. Well, Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard." You know, as we look at this vision, does it say the heart of her boss doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil? No. Who's the household economy that she's managing? Well, it's her husband's household economy. She shall do her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. You see, she manages her household for her husband. In the New Testament, you find that she's called the oikos despoteo, or the despot of the home, the manager of the home. See, she produces, she buys and sells, she considers a field, she plants a vineyard. We call this entrepreneurism, folks. I realize that we don't see this very much in slave-based economies, the sorts of economies that we work under here today. It's incredibly sad that we've lost the concept of oikonomia, which was the word for economics. Oikonomia is literally translated from the Greek, the vision or the law of the household. The basic economic unit has always been the family, the household, not the individual as it's been configured since the Marxist Communist Manifesto was written some 150 years ago. Everybody today sees themselves as economically individuated. Well, that's not the way the Word of God brings it out. The Word of God brings it out as a household economy. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil, because of the work that she does for the cause of the oikonomia, the economic vision of the home. It's interesting that it doesn't say that she homeschools her children in this text. The reason is because the household economy is the wider vision. That's what we're given here. The education of the children is just a small part of the household economy, but it's not the essence of it. That's why Proverbs 31 brings out the economic ventures of this woman. Well, that's one of the reasons we want to bring this series to you on the Generations Radio broadcast, a series called Entrepreneurial Moms. Now, there are some hero moms out there that are actually trying to fulfill the Proverbs 31 vision for womanhood. And we want to celebrate these moms on this radio broadcast. Entrepreneurial Moms is next, and Marsha Washburn will be with me next on Generations. Stay with me. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision. where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, and with me now is Marcia Washburn, a friend of this program. She's been on the air before with us. She is a mother of five sons. She is homeschooled for 19 years. She regularly contributes to the Czech magazine called the Czech Homeschool Update. She's the author of a number of books, including her latest, Talent to Treasure, Building a Profitable Music Teaching Business. Marcia, welcome to Generations.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to be with you again.
Yes, Marcia. Now, you start out homeschooling your five boys, but at the same time, you got a business going.
Exactly. You know, before I was married, I was already teaching music,
okay.
So it seemed natural to continue doing that. And at first, it didn't interfere much with what was going on at home, but as our family grew, we really had to rethink how we wanted to blend these two things together. When we started, our youngest son was an infant, and I live in a small town, and there were not a lot of piano teachers available. And so anyone who could play or teach, they wanted to, you know, they were strongly encouraged to go ahead and teach.
Okay.
And so
you started out really from the very beginning.
Oh, from the very beginning. As I said, I was teaching even before I was married. So
okay.
And I had my bachelor's and my master's in music. So this was something that I brought into the marriage. So I wanted to do my part in raising the next generation of musicians, particularly to play for church and so forth.
Right.
So what my husband and I decided to do at that juncture, when our sons were quite young, was to limit my teaching to one or two afternoons a week.
Okay, which would be how many students?
Which would be maybe four or five half-hour lessons during the after-school hours. Because at that time, people were public schooled. We'd never even heard of homeschooling yet ourselves.
Okay, right.
And so I had a student who was about 14, and in exchange for lessons, she would babysit my youngest son right there in the same house, and the instructions were, unless there's a blood or fire emergency, don't disturb me during lessons. And our son loved to meet with this girl, and she loved to meet with him, and it worked out very nicely. I didn't have to leave the home. I was available if something drastic came up.
Now, what kind of an income source could this sort of thing produce for a mother who's listening right now? You don't have to say exactly how much you've been making and when and so forth, but what are we talking about? If say, a mom said, you know, I think I could teach piano for 10, 15, 20 hours per week.
You know, it depends a lot on where you live. Rural America does not pay as well as Front Range. I would say that an average teacher would be charging a fee, a tuition of any place from $40 a month up to $120 a month, probably less depending on your experience or your formal training level. And that translates into a half hour or 45 minute lessons, just depending on how you do it. And one of the reasons that I wrote Talent to Treasure, Kevin, is that so many moms have a heart for music, but they don't really have any business background. And they need to consider things just like you brought up. How much do I charge? How will I recruit students? How will I keep students? How will I handle the policies in such a way that 2 months down the road, I'm hating it, I'm not getting paid, the kids aren't practicing, my family's in uproar, I can't get dinner on the table, we're spending my entire income on carry and pizzas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, so they could potentially part-time, with part-time work, make anywhere from $1,000 to, say, $3,000 per month.
Oh, yes, easily.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if they are teaching homeschool and adults.
Yeah.
What I do currently, now that I'm an empty nester, is teach 3 days a week. I teach Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
That gives me 4 days consecutively when I am not working, and, well, not working at my business, and I'm available to my husband and my family and my grandkids and so forth. So I start at 12 o'clock and end about 6. That allows me to have a studio of about 30 students.
Okay.
Some of them are half hours, some are 45 minutes as they get more advanced. So I take my adult students and my homeschoolers immediately after lunch, and then I take my private and public school students after they get out of their regular school.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. What does Keith, your husband, think about your side business here? Does he support you, encourage you in what you're doing?
You know, overall, he's been very supportive. The only time I hear from him is if I take on students too late in the afternoon, and he comes home, and he wants his home to be a castle. And he's been away from home all day, and he's not anxious to share it with everyone else. And that's not selfish on his part. That's just a man who's been working a 10-hour day and is just ready to kick back and relax for a while. And I'm in the same room where, he wants to put up his feet. And my students are waiting in another room where he could put up his feet also.
Right, right. So you've got to find ways to kind of coordinate everybody's needs and responsibilities and the things that they're doing in a household business of this sort.
Exactly. And that's something that you're wise to look into and discuss prior to beginning the business. It's so important to look at issues like unity between the spouses. Are they both fully engaged in this idea?
Yes.
And how is the timing? It's really probably not the best time to start a new business of any kind if you have a newborn at home.
Yeah.
You've got enough challenges already.
Yeah, good point. How do you interrelate all the other activities? How do you balance it all when you're trying to, make sure the two-year-old is well taken care of? You want to make sure the children are being homeschooled and the house is clean and so forth. How do you balance these things? What would you tell the average mother in terms of trying to balance multiple responsibilities?
Well, I would say most homeschool moms are already pretty good balancers.
Yeah.
Again, go into it with your eyes wide open. Be aware that some things you're going to have to make some adjustments in your expectations. It may be that your children will be doing some of the things that you have done in the past. As my children got older, they took on some of the, supervision of the younger children. Mm-hmm. And they dearly loved to have these students come in because we live in the country, so it was new playmates for them.
Right.
They could play with the siblings while they came. They have had international experiences of playing with, there's a local doctor from Nigeria, and they played with his kids, as well as many other countries. But as far as the balancing, I think you get more efficient. You know what you're going to serve for dinner that night. You acquire recipes that can be put together in 10 minutes after you're finished teaching, or that are already in the oven or the crock pot. You just have to do some advanced planning, and those are some things that I have on my website and also are included in Talent to Treasure.
Yes, and a key thing that I think people need to remember is that our homes are oikonomias, economic units, and we are teams here, and everybody's got to chip in. And if the children aren't busy and if we're not properly delegating to the children, then this thing's not going to be functioning. This machine is not going to be functioning as it should. You're just going to be trying to manage chaos.
Exactly, exactly. And you cannot be teaching or operating a business if the children are not already well-disciplined and if they don't have things provided for them to do. Sometimes they had homework that they needed to finish during the time that I was teaching. And they were required, when I would switch students, they would show me, okay, I have completed this page. And you can't be interrupting them, your lessons, but they certainly can touch base with you when you're switching out students every half hour.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. And, of course, the overarching thing is organization in the home. And I know that's a big theme with you. You've got a column called Management for Moms that you write for the Check Update. And it's really important for moms to be able to organize. Now, why do you think some moms feel that they're just incapable of organizing?
It does come more easily for some people than others.
Mm-hmm.
We're all different people, and some people just seem to be born organized. but it can be a learned skill. And I have seen women whose homes were in chaos bring it into order by studying godly principles and by mentoring with others for whom organization comes more easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a learned skill, and there are some wonderful resources available for moms who are struggling in this area.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a challenge to manage the home, but that's what God calls us to do, and it's a very, very important task. Now, as you bring this business into your home and as you bring it into your life, there are some benefits to having your own business, developing an income stream like this. What are the benefits of having this income stream in your own home?
Oh, boy, there are so many of them. I can't tell you how many times I've looked out onto our Colorado landscape when it was cold and icky outside and maybe snowing and thinking, I'm so glad I don't have to commute to my job.
Yeah.
People come to me.
That's right.
So just that one thing. You have almost total control over your clientele.
Yeah.
If something is not working out, you don't have to continue to invite them into your home.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose what business you want, and you are self-employed. You are your own boss. The tax code is written in such a way that it's very favorable to business owners. So it is perfectly legal and acceptable and expected that if you are operating a business in your own home, that you can deduct a certain percentage of utilities and upkeep and maintenance and so forth, because that is your home. In my case, it's very much the same code as you would if you were doing child care in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a sitting room where people are waiting, and if they use the bathroom, and if they use the living room for the lessons and so forth, all of those parts of the home are included in that.
Mm.
So you, in effect, are earning more than you are actually charging.
Right, because of everything you're saving in taxes. Boy, that's excellent. And not to forget that you're still with your children, and if you were going to work, you would not have the opportunity to homeschool and to be overseeing them, and they would not have the opportunity to play a part in the household economy.
Precisely, precisely. And there, you know, there are so many times when a child's health is marginal.
Mm.
They're well enough
to stay
in the room and quietly play while you are teaching your piano lessons, but they are not well enough to be packed up and taken to a daycare where they are more likely to get more germs anyway.
Right.
So you can be surrounded by them. You know, I think I have seen the evolution over the years. We started homeschooling back in the early 1980s and thought it was merely an educational choice. We had no idea what God's bigger picture was of a homeschool lifestyle.
Yeah.
And not only now do we homeschool our children, many people are home birthing their children, but now we're talking about home businesses and even home care for our elderly relatives. And it is coming full circle.
And that's why your book, Talent to Treasure, Building a Profitable Music Teaching Business, is, I think, so timely, Marcia. You couldn't have picked a better time. I'm sure many, many people are going to be interested in this resource. Because this is something a mother can do in the home. Now, how did you get the word out? How did you get started with this business?
Well, you know, as a public school music teacher, people would come to me and say, I need a piano teacher. And that's when I discovered that there was a need. And I think any mom who is looking to supplement the family's income needs to say, what is a need in my community? What do people need? And she can develop her own business around that need. It could be something as simple as they need a place to park their RV during the off season, and you've got an extra spot in the back yard, you know, which doesn't take too much trouble. They park it, you charge the rent, you're done with it, you know.
So keep an eye out for the needs.
Exactly. And see, what do you have in your hand already?
Mm.
What did God use for Moses? He had a staff in his hand. And through that, God worked wonderful miracles for the people of Israel. Look and see what's already in your hand that other people need. Our 13-year-old was fascinated with computers and people needed them, and they needed an economical way and somebody to teach them how to use them. And he has put in, he's now through college and has, you know, put himself through by doing just that.
Yeah, and you know, how do you get the word out then? If you've got a business like a music teaching business and you're trying to start it out of your home, is word of mouth the best way?
Word of mouth is certainly the best way because people will trust their friends and relatives with a recommendation. Mm-hmm. However, there are other ways as well. Want ads in the newspaper, Craigslist, even a sign on the phone pole on the corner if they're not forbidden in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Talk it around. Let people in your homeschool support group and at your church know that you are open for business. And before long, your phone will be ringing off the hook and you will be developing a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
Let the local piano tuners know that you are available. Go to your local music store if you have one and ask if they will put you on the referral list. Many areas have music teachers associations that meet together, and as a part of your membership fee, they will list you as an available, you know, because in a metro area, you want somebody that's relatively close to you when you're shopping for a teacher. And so they will refer you according to your zip code to teachers in your own neighborhood.
Marcia, do you enjoy teaching music?
Oh, I love to teach music. I can get up in the morning and be kind of achy and feeling like, you know, oh dear, and by the time I've taught a lesson or two, it is such a pleasure to have people young and old come in because they are each such unique people. And you teach differently according to their personalities, according to their gifts, according to their motivations, according to their age and gender. And so it's a chance to just find a way to help them meet their goals for music.
And that's just the best of all worlds. When you're doing what you enjoy doing, you make money for it, and you can still do it in your own home. What else could you ask for, you know?
Exactly. I, you know, I would do it if I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
But it's important to get paid, not just to supplement the income.
It's important for
people to value what you are doing for them.
Yes, exactly.
Otherwise, they don't want to practice.
What sort of persons do you think are right for teaching music?
Of course, you have to evaluate if you have the necessary expertise. Take a look at your talent and see, do I need to brush up on my skills for whatever instrument or voice you happen to be doing? Am I capable of teaching beginners, or could I take intermediate or advanced students? And maybe it's necessary to get some more training yourself. Maybe you need some lessons. I actually have mentored a number of my high school students who began teaching while they were in high school. They apprenticed under me and are now moving into their building their own studios. That's a wonderful thing. And I know a number of homeschool graduates who have moved directly into teaching piano or whatever instrument, either during high school or after their graduation, and are now earning their livings in this way.
And I have said many, many times that the basics of all of education is reading, writing, and music or singing, because singing is the only art form required by God.
Exactly, so, and it's the one that we get to take to heaven with us.
That's right, that's right. And many others have said if they learn the music, if they can learn to sing or play the piano, math will come easier. Have you heard that?
That is true. The research shows that the same skills needed for engineering are especially developed by people playing the piano because it forces both sides of the brain to work independently because you're using both hands.
Marcia, I'm really, really interested in your book, Talent to Treasure. Haven't had a chance to read it yet, Building a Profitable Music Teaching Business. Could you give us a little flavor about, you know, what you're covering in that book for those that are listening?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Kevin. We talk about how to prepare your heart and your home for your business.
Okay.
We talk about recruiting and retaining students, how much to charge for lessons, how to make sure you get paid, how not to be dealing with money all the time when you'd rather be making music together, how to select a balanced diet of music for your students, what to teach on that first lesson. A lot of people know how to play an instrument, but they haven't any idea how they learned how because they were so young. So what to teach in that first lesson? How to teach using learning styles to be a people teacher first. How to deal with memorization, performance jitters, and all of those things. Reaching and teaching special needs students from challenged students to gifted students. And it goes on and on. There are five appendices in it that have sample letters for writing policy letters and so forth for students. Much of that can be, those letters are actually posted on my website so that a music teacher can go there, download it, and then personalize it for her own use without having to generate all of her own materials.
And what a tremendous resource. And let me direct people to your website. That's MarciaWashburn.com. Let me spell it out. MarciaWashburn. MarciaWashburn.com on the web. And Marcia, this has been tremendous. From time to time, we just like to incarnate the philosophy of the program. And you have really incarnated the Proverbs 31 vision, I think, in a very, very wonderful way. And I thank you so much for sharing it with us.
It was my privilege, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
What a terrific incarnation, folks, of what we've been trying to say on this radio program as we read from Proverbs 31. And try to understand the vision that God has for womanhood. And Marcia Washburn supplies such a wonderful, sweet representation of I think, what God has brought to us here in Proverbs 31. Hope that's been beneficial to you. And again, let me recommend the book, Talent to Treasure, Building a Profitable Music Teaching Business, available at MarciaWashburn.com. We also have copies at the check office, our check store. You can call 877-842-CHEC. That's 877-842-CHEC if you'd like to purchase that book right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.